pretty well. I didn't know that one. And, well, I didn't know it when the schedule was made. I know it now. And every time I've heard somebody play that here, do any of you know the song Press On, It Won't Be Very Long? Does anybody know that one? No? All right. Just me. All right. Well, they sound identical. So I'm going to look it up and see if it's the same hymn writer, because they do that sometimes, and sometimes the words translate into other hymns as well. I've noticed that in hymns before. You can take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23. See, down south, they would have no clue what the song The Comforter's Come is, but everybody's hand would go up for Press On, It Won't Be Very Long. It's amazing just how different everything is. Y'all know the song, I Know My Name Is There? Anybody know that one? No? I'm not going to sing it. Not going to sing it. Well, those are songs you need to look up. They're very good songs. I like to sing. And I want to say thank you to those last week who promised to go out and be a part of our soul winning, those who promised to pray, those who promised to be a part of that. We're going to have some gift boxes made up here this week. So weather permitting, we'll be able to go out and visit those who have visited us. And it says a lot about our church and a lot about our character if we care enough to take them something out in the snow. I've told y'all my father's testimony before, but the pastor, he came out in the middle of a tropical storm. He was in his late 70s, came out in the middle of a tropical storm about an hour from his house just to see my dad. And because of that, my dad said, something is real about this man. Something inside this man is real, and I want to go figure out what it is. And so because of that, I'm here today. My family is saved, and I thank the Lord for that. So we'll be having those gift boxes available to you for those that are going out. We have the plaque is out on the wall for Operation Saturation. You can take a look at that. And then, of course, the Teen of the Year with Michaela Wilimowski is out there as well. And I want to also say thank you to all of those who jumped in and helped with the Agape Dinner. It was not just one person or one little group of people. It was a lot of people that put a lot of hands into that. Thank you very much to the teens for serving at that. And if you weren't here, you missed out. It was a good time together there. Psalm chapter number 23, Psalm 23. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read the whole psalm here, Psalm chapter 23. Very familiar to you, I'm sure. And we'll be looking at a few familiar things here tonight, but things that are good to remind us of. The verse number 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for the truths of your word. We thank you for an opportunity again to be in your house, to hear your word preached, and to sing songs centered around you and around your word. Lord, I thank you for the sweet spirit in your house tonight. Lord, as we come together in unity and as we look at your word together, things that we can agree on, things that we can speak the same thing and be of the same mind. Lord, I pray that we would all have a heart to see things in your word tonight and be reminded of things that can be a help to us, Lord, and an encouragement in times of trouble and of times of trial. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight to listen filled with the Spirit. I pray that you'd fill me with the Spirit as I preach. Lord, use me as I preach your word. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here in the building tonight or under the sound of my voice through the radio or live stream that does not know you as personal Savior, Father, I pray that you would prick that heart tonight and that they would put their faith and trust in you and you alone. Lord, we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for it all, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Excuse me, I'm going to have this tonight. pastor called me this week, and he probably wouldn't tell you this, but he called me this week. I said, hello. He said, hello, Pastor Knight. He could barely talk. And so we've all had something going on over the past few weeks. And choir practice, you all know if you're in choir, it'll take it out of you as you try to practice some of those songs and sing out. So pray for me tonight that my throat will hold up and that I'll be able to have plenty of water here. All right, so recently we looked at the name Jehovah Jireh. Hopefully you remember that message from about a month ago now as we looked in Genesis at Jehovah Jireh, meaning God will provide. We looked at how Abraham had a lamb provided for his son, a ram there for Isaac. And we were reminded of how God provides for each of us as a protector, a father, and a friend. And so as we continue this series, we're looking at the names of God. Here in the second message, I want us to remember that there are pictures and metaphors in the Bible that are given for us to understand deeper truths in His Word. And here in our passage, we are introduced to Jehovah Rohi. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd, giving us the example of a shepherd and his sheep. Within the wording of this statement, we find a few things in the beginning of the book, or in the beginning of this chapter of Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. This statement, we find a few things. Firstly, he is called the Lord. We understand what this means, but looking at the word the is a definite article or a direct article. Unlike indirect articles such as a and, the word the holds a different meaning. In this case, David is stating that God is the only God, the Lord, the only King. He didn't say, a Lord is my shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's recognizing who God is. And so, if you're saved here tonight, you had to come to the realization that you had no chance of heaven outside of the Lord. The Lord is your only way to be there. The only way to get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he calls himself the way, the truth, and the life, as it says in John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, not a way. There's not a way to heaven, there's the way to heaven, right? He says, I am the truth. He is the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So he refers to him as the Lord, and he uses the title here and the name Lord. It also holds much meaning to David here as he is stating that God is his master. Too often I feel we can't truly refer to Christ as our Lord because we don't like to keep him in that position as master of our lives. And so he calls him here Lord. And if you see him as your Lord, then or as your master, as David does here, then why don't we trust him? Sometimes it's hard to trust him. You know, a dog, they trust their master that you know, when they get that scoop out or whatever it is, that bowl out, I'm about to get fed. I just know I'm about to get food. Or maybe you're cooking a certain meal and your dog runs up and they're waiting because they know you're going to give me something. They trust you. They understand you're their master and they trust their master. But we sometimes forget to trust him even though he's our master. And we forget that we need to obey him as he's our master. There's very few things more trifling than trying to train a dog. Right? A dog that just won't listen, a stubborn dog. I've trained a couple in my lifetime, but they're hard to train sometimes. But once they look at you as their master, they'll listen and they'll obey. And that's what we need to do with Christ. And you see, we like to give him the title Lord. We like to give him the title Lord. Even in our prayers, we'll thank the Lord for things and we'll talk to the Lord about things. But we don't like to give him the position. We like to give him the title, but not the position of master. And so he calls him the Lord. But then secondly, he says, is my. He claims Christ as his own. Psalm 63:1 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And so what a joy for us to be able to claim the God of heaven as our own. You know, when you think about that the God of heaven that created all these things, as the song we just sang, us a child of hell, that he would accept us and that he would love us and take us into his flock and say, hey, I'll be your shepherd. And you can be mine, and I'll be yours. And so David, he gets to claim that here, and that's a wonderful joy for us to be able to claim as well as we're saved. And then thirdly, he calls him his shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. Of course, we all would be familiar with what a shepherd does, the different things that a shepherd does. But what about the requirements, some requirements of a good shepherd? Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, we'll find point number 1. A shepherd cares. A shepherd cares. Verse number 7 of chapter 5, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The God of heaven cares about you. He cares for you. And don't ever let that not amaze you, that the God of heaven cares for you. I'm amazed that my wife loves me. Husbands, you should be amazed your wife loves you. Wives, you should be amazed your husbands love you sometimes too, right? We should be amazed at how people accept us with who we are, but amazingly how God cares for us. As a shepherd does for his earthly flock, God cares for our needs. Sheep on a farm learn the touch of their shepherd's hands and the sound of their voice. They learn that when in the shepherd's presence, they are safe, cared for, and protected. That I got from a farmer's page. They were talking about how real physical sheep, it's just a sense of calm when the shepherd is near, when the shepherd is there for them, because they know they'll be cared for. Our passage in Psalm 23 says, I shall not want. That word want there means lack or have need of. Firstly, he takes care of us as his sheep for our physical needs. Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Not that we will have it all, right? Not that we're going to have all of the things in this world, but that we will be taken care of as he cares for us. We're not going to have lack, and we're not going to have need of physical things. God is saying, I will take care of you as you are the righteous. I will take care of you. You may not get the fancy house, the car, or clothes, but you shall not want for anything either. And then secondly, for spiritual things. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I shall not want, even in the spiritual things. Hey, and I've made this statement before, but you're as spiritual as you want to be. You're as close to God as you want to be. The Bible says, for if we draw nigh unto God, he will draw nigh unto us. That is a promise from his word. And so he's saying, if you lack wisdom in a spiritual discernment, in spiritual matters, whatever it may be, you can trust him to give that and to care for you. Now, some of us may need to ask for this wisdom more often than others, but the point is that it's always there for us to get to glean from God's wisdom. And God gives us spiritual wisdom that helps us discern each and every situation. But as he cares for us as the sheep of his pasture, he doesn't just do those things. He also, as a shepherd does for his earthly flock, God cares about our problems. Hebrews 4:14 through 15 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. You know, Jesus, he came here and he's a shepherd for us as his sheep, and he's dealt with all the same things. He's gone through all of these same problems that we have. And so he cares about your problems. He cares about the trials that you may face. You know, in Matthew 4, Jesus was tempted of the devil. He was tempted of the devil, right? In Matthew chapter 4 as well, he was hungry in the wilderness. He dealt with hunger. He dealt with a want for something there. In John 4, he was physically tired from traveling. In John chapter 11, he grieved the death of Lazarus. Just thinking about grieving, and I'll bring this up. I guess I hadn't worn this suit jacket since, but this was the jacket I wore at my granddaddy's funeral. And so this morning, I got a reminder of my granddaddy as I pulled this out, and I looked at him, And I realized they didn't put a picture of me with him on here anywhere. And so I'm mad at y'all now. But I didn't see a picture of me with him. But hey, sometimes we grieve the loss of a family member, right? We've done that. Hey, the Lord Jesus did too. He grieved the loss of a friend. It says Jesus wept. He cried over that. And so Jesus, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He truly does understand. Matthew 26, he was betrayed by the son of perdition. He was betrayed by Judas. How many of you have been betrayed? Jesus has gone through that. In fact, you probably betrayed Jesus in one way or another in your life. And so Jesus has dealt with all of those things. It's good to have somebody who can relate, right? When you have a problem, you want somebody who can relate. You know, you don't go to somebody who's never been through the problem before, gone through the issue before. And so Jesus, as he's the shepherd for us, as he cares for us, he shows us all these things he cares about us for, and he cares for our spiritual and our physical needs, but he cares for your emotional needs. He understands that we are emotional creatures. As humans, we are emotional beings, right? We can go from happy and joyful, singing a good song on the radio, and then, you know, we're sitting at the stoplight for just a little too long, and we flip a switch, and now we're not so happy, right? We're emotional beings, emotional creatures, and God understands those things, and he can feel those things for us and care for us because he lived it. But then turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. So he cares for us. A shepherd cares for his sheep. That's something that is required among a shepherd. If they're going to have a flock, they're going to have to care for that flock. If you're going to have a dog, you're going to have to care for that dog. You can't just let the dog do whatever it wants. You have to care for a cat. I hope none of y'all have a cat. Amen. Nobody should have a cat. I didn't get enough amens on that. Come on now. Pastor said, quit meddling. No, but you know, you have to care for those things. If you're going to have a child, you have to care for that child, right? You can't just leave it alone. And so a shepherd, he cares for the sheep. It's a requirement of a shepherd to care for the sheep. But then number two, verse number 34 through 35 of 1 Samuel 17, a shepherd contends. A shepherd contends for the sheep. He fights for them. In verse number 34, the Bible says, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him." David, as we know, was a young man when he was chosen by God to be the king over Israel. He was a young man who had been through some things. And he, here in this passage, he's explaining to Saul, hey, I can go out and fight the Philistine. I can go out and fight Goliath. I'll tell you some of the things that I've done before. And he's not bragging on himself. He's bragging on God, saying, God can do, he did that there. He allowed me to take out the lion and the bear there. So why can't I take out Goliath here with God's help? And so, here is a shepherd over his father's flock of sheep, he had to contend for them. Contend means to fight for or defend. Fathers and mothers, you're going to have to contend for your family. There's a little fighting for your family that has to take place. There's outside forces that want your children addicted to things, right? There are outside forces that want your children to look at things on the internet. You have to put up safeguards. You have to watch out for those things. There are people that want to put out entertainment and say, well, this is good for a 13-year-old to watch. It's not good for you to watch. Right. Amen? Right? They're going to put it out there and they're going to say, oh, this is PG. This is just parental guidance is probably needful there. And you probably shouldn't even watch it, right? And so they're trying to get to your family. They're trying to get to your flock. And you have to contend for them. That's what Jesus does for us. Just as David is here for his sheep. And he does this in two ways. In 1 Peter 5:8, where we were a moment ago, we find, firstly, David, in order for him to take care of his flock, he must be sober. You must be sober. And I'm not just talking about not being under the influence of alcohol or drugs. He's sober-minded. He's got his mind in the right place. He's paying good attention. He's got his mind focused on the task at hand. And his task at hand is to take care of the sheep. You know what God's task at hand is? It's to take care of us and to take care of the sheep and to lead the sheep in the right direction, right? And so as Christ is sober-minded, as he's leading us as the shepherd, he is also vigilant. But as the verse says, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, just like what David dealt with, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I may have said this before, but in a flock of sheep, there's a shepherd here, and he may be watching the sheep here, or as David may have done, he may have played his harp for the sheep or whatever. And there's a few sheep gathered around. You know, the lion, the roaring lion, he's not interested in coming all the way up to the shepherd and saying, hey, Mr. Shepherd, I'm going to take this sheep right here from right that's really close to me, really close to the shepherd. No, he's going to look for the ones that are saying, man, I don't like this fence. What's this fence doing here? The grass looks great out there in the world. I want to just, here, let me climb over this fence here. That's the one that the lion's going after. He's not going after the one that's close to the shepherd. And so you, in your life, you want to be close to God. You want to be as close to God as you can, because there's safety in that. There's safety in being close to the shepherd as that roaring lion. He's going about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour your home. He wants to devour your marriage. He wants to devour your Sunday school class. He wants to devour our church. And so as he's doing that, he's looking for the weaker ones to pick off. They're a little easier. They don't fight as hard. They're already kind of willing to go out and follow him. But he's sober. David is sober. He's got his mind in the right place. But then he is also, he was skillful. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong. I think in some parts of the passage you can see this. How many of you have always heard David, he killed the lion and the bear with his bare hands. He just killed him, right? Well, I don't ever see in the passage where it says that he killed him with his bare hands. I do see where he caught him with his beard, by his beard, and he smote him and slew him. But before that, in verse number 35, at the beginning of the verse, you see, he says, and I went out after him. So he's chasing the lion, or he's chasing the bear down, and smote him. What did David use to kill Goliath? He used a sling, right? He used a sling, and he got that sling out, and he, I don't know if you've ever seen videos of those slings as they got them together there with the leather, and they're launching them. I watched a video of a guy, he put a rock through a cast iron skillet. I was like, wow, that thing is powerful. It's not just one of these, you know, I mean, you've seen the Andy Griffith Show, and Opie asks Barney, well, where'd David get the inner tube, you know, because he's trying to use one of those type. And he's like, well, he cut up and then he stops himself. No, he's using leather, and he's taking that, and he releases one end of that sling, and it goes into Goliath's skull there. The same wording is used in the verse where it says that David, he smote him and slew Goliath. And so I believe that maybe this lion or this bear is running, or he's taking it, and he's got this sheep and he's trying to get somewhere with it. And David chases him down. He must have looked like a wild man, a wild shepherd, and he goes after him with this sling. And he sees this bear, this lion, and he's going along, and he slings this rock and he gets him. And then he goes over there and gets him by the beard and he kills him. I'm so glad I have a God that can do that for me. Amen. I can't fight a lion. I could try. I wouldn't succeed. I can't fight a bear. When I was 4 or 5 years old, there was a buffet at a hotel or something like that, and I went up there and I was getting a donut, and somebody asked me, my parents tell me the story, somebody asked me, oh, are you going to be a police officer when you grow up? Because I was grabbing a donut. I said, no, I'm going to be a bear. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a bear. I don't know why. And Patty may say, yeah, you're a bear sometimes. But see, he was skillful. He had an ability. And I'm glad to say tonight that our shepherd is more skillful than any enemy we could ever face. He's more skillful than any enemy we will ever come across. Our shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, fights even harder for us than David fought for his flock. In Exodus 14:14, it says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Deuteronomy 1:30, first part of the verse says, "The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you." 1 John 4:4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I'm glad I have a shepherd that's going to contend for me. He's going to fight for me. Children that have parents that fight for you, be thankful you have parents that are fighting for you. Amen. And then thirdly, in Lamentations, turn to Lamentations chapter number 3. Lamentations chapter number 3. We'll find point number 3. A shepherd is compassionate. A shepherd is compassionate. I'll find my way there here. You know, they make these bookmarks for your Bible, and then we never use them. Lamentations chapter number 3, verses 22 and 23. Very familiar verses here, but they say, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Shepherds must not only care for and fight for their sheep, but they must also have a compassion on the sheep. You know, sheep are dumb. Sheep are very dumb. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons, I think, why God uses sheep and likens us to sheep in the Bible. I don't think it's just because, you know, we're pretty dumb sometimes. But I think, too, it's because we're stubborn. Sheep are very stubborn. And we as people are stubborn with God a lot of times. But he cares about the sufferings and problems of the sheep. That's what a shepherd does. And is willing to do something about it. He cares enough about his sheep that he's willing to do something about their problem. See, we don't just need an empathetic shepherd. I don't need one that just understands my problem and my trial just because he's been through it and he says, "Oh, I understand what you're going through." No, I need somebody who's going to step in and take care of me. I need somebody who's going to come in and say, "Hey, I'm going to have some compassion on you." I need a compassionate shepherd. One that is, the word compassion is an action. As he takes compassion and uses it on us, we find this in Christ. In John 10:11, we find the good shepherd. The Bible says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." I'm glad he gave his life for me and he died for me. The great shepherd is what he's called in Hebrews 13:20. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep." 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So he's called the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. And he does all of this and he shows his compassion for us and how he died for our sins. I told y'all before the verse, "For God so loved the world," that great love. I'm glad he loved me, but I'm glad he loved me enough to do something about it. I'm glad he had compassion on me. He has compassion on me every day. I'm going to need compassion probably tonight. I'm going to need compassion tomorrow. I'm going to need compassion and mercy every single day. That's why he says they're new every morning. Amen. Amen. They're new every morning. In 1 Peter 5:4, it says, "When the chief shepherd," that's why it says, "casting all your care upon him." Who? The chief shepherd. As you're a sheep of his pasture, you can take your cares and problems and cast them to Jesus and allow him to carry the load. He guides us to the green pastures. And y'all can turn back to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, he guides us to the green pastures and the still water. Verse number 2. It says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." You know, sometimes we need to be made to stop and lay down. Lay down in the green pasture. Take some time. "He restoreth my soul." He wants you to take some time and get some rest here. And he restores your soul in the green pasture. And he sits you beside the still waters. Those still waters, that calm, that peaceful place where the shepherd wants to put you. He does all those things for us. He cares for us. He contends for us. He has compassion on us. And then number 4 is found in Psalm 23 and John 10. You don't have to turn there. A shepherd is committed. A shepherd is committed. He is with us to the very end. Our shepherd is going to lead us to the very end. In John 10, 11 through 14, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth him, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. But here it is, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. The hireling isn't committed, because he has no investment. Here's this man, and he has a flock of sheep. And he says, hey, I don't have time to take care of them myself. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to hire somebody out, and they're going to watch my sheep for me, and they're going to feed them, and they're going to guide them, and they're going to make sure that they're drinking the right water and all these things. And so he pays a man to come in and do that. Well, here comes the wolf, or here comes the lion, or here comes the bear. And the attack is on, and the hireling, he's going to say, I don't get paid for this. I just work here. I don't get paid enough to do this. I'm going to kind of make my way out, and whatever the wolf gets or whatever the lion gets or whatever the bear gets, he can have them. I'm glad God doesn't do that with me. You know, Satan's desire is that each and every one of us fall. And if God had that same spirit about him and said, hey, I saved you, isn't that enough? You want me to lead you to? And God says, oh, I've saved you and now you're on your own. Hey, all of us would be doomed to spend a life that is not led, and we wouldn't be able to follow our leader, our shepherd. And so I'm glad that Jesus isn't just one of those hirelings that comes in. No, he's committed to us. God thought we were worth his son's blood. And so he is committed to his investment. You ever bought something, and since you bought it, maybe you're in teen group or you're growing up, and it's the first major purchase you made. You maybe remember that. The first big thing you bought. One of the first big things I bought was a truck. And I cared about that truck. And I worked on that truck. And I replaced the heads on that, head gaskets on that truck. I had one head reworked and because it was cracked from when I got it. And I put a radiator in that truck. I did all these things to that truck. And it still didn't run right. And so it was a Ford. And but I got that truck. And you know what? I cared about that truck. I went out there, and my mom, she would watch me, I'm sure. She's told me she had, and she'd see me out there. I'm scrubbing the truck down. I'm wiping it down here and there. And it was an ugly white Ford Ranger, but I wanted to take care of it. I cared about that truck. Why? I had investment. You know what our shepherd has in you? Investment. His son died for you. His son died for me. He gave the most valuable thing in the universe for Grace of Calvary to get to go to heaven. For us to be able to go to heaven. And so he says, hey, I've got some investment in you. As your shepherd, I'm going to take care of you. Because I want to. Because I've given my son for you. And as we've accepted that free gift of salvation, we weren't chosen for salvation. We understand that. We're not Calvinists here tonight. But as we are saved, the shepherd says, hey, I've got some investment in you. And I'm going to take care of you. We have a shepherd who will not let us go. And he will not let us down. And he will continue to guide us all the way home. Psalm 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. What a wonderful promise we get from our shepherd. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. I hope that's an encouragement to you tonight, that no matter what, you can always fall back on your shepherd. And so as we remember Christ as Jehovah Rohi, think about how he cares for us, how he contends for us, how he shows us compassion, and how he is committed to us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. In a moment tonight, you're going to have an opportunity to sing to the Lord and thank him and dwell on his leading. We're going to sing a song that'll be from our passage tonight. But right now, if you want to come to the altar and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for being my shepherd. I just want to thank you for leading me. Thank you for caring about me enough. I'm just a ugly, dirty, wretched sheep. But you care about me. And you fight for me. And you have compassion on me. I'm a sheep and I make the same mistakes over and over and over again. But you have compassion. And you showed your compassion as you shed your blood for me. And then remember that he's committed to you.
Are you committed to Him? Are we committed to Christ tonight? I hope we are. As we think about those things, maybe you'd like to come to the altar and join those that are here and thank the Lord for those things. But perhaps tonight you understand that you're not part of the flock of God. You're not on your way to heaven. You're not sure that you're saved. Well, there's no greater news tonight than to know that you can be saved before you leave. You can be saved right now in your seat. If there's anyone here tonight that does not know that they're on their way to heaven, if they were to die tonight on the way home, they're not sure that they're on their way to heaven. Anybody like that tonight, if you'd lift up your hand, anybody like that tonight? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for who you are to us, Lord. We thank you that you're Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides, Lord, provides for us each and every step of the way. As we look at Psalm 23, Lord, we see Jehovah Jireh there as well. We see you providing for us. But Lord, as we think about you as Jehovah Rohi, as you are our shepherd and you guide us, we thank you for that truth. I pray that you'd help us to remember that, to be encouraged by that, and Lord, that you would help us to dwell on that here tonight. Lord, we thank you and praise you for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. I believe it's number 457. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I believe it's 457. It's in E flat. And if everyone would stand, I know this is a little different, but I want everyone to take a chance and thank the Lord, dwell on this. 457. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. If you need to come to the altar and pray, you're welcome to. But I want us to sing through that first verse and the chorus of that tonight. And think about that last verse that we read from Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. So on the first verse, Brother Mark, you can lead us.